welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BB and Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, yarn up strong. We're going to jump straight in, catch up and have a yarn with Ben Dretz, Festival Creative Director, First Nations, and talking about a Sydney World Pride 2023 announces first four shows to be staged at the First Nations Gathering Space. On the line, Ben, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, can you let us know who your mob were you from?
Sure, yes. So I'm currently on Gadigal Country here in Sydney, but I'm from Larrakia Country up in Darwin, and my family are Iwaja, Malak Malak, and also from Badu Island on the Torres Strait, so all over. But yeah, as I said, coming to you from Gadigal Country today.
Deadly, beautiful, and fantastic footprint. Thank you very much for sharing. Now, the first four shows to be staged at the Sydney World Pride's Murray Madang Butt-Butt. Many brave hearts, the First Nations Gathering Space, have gone on sale. So enlighten us, please.
Yeah, so Sydney World Pride is an event that's happening next year in February, March in Sydney, here in Sydney. And basically it's a global pride festival. So there's never been a World Pride held in the Southern Hemisphere. Mm. So it's a really big a big thing for it to come here. And obviously there's a big focus on First Nations next year. And yes, as you mentioned, one of our major events where we've got a gathering space taking place at Carriage Works, Murray Madang Butt-Butt, which is, as you said, as many brave hearts. So as a part of that, you know, that's going to go for 6 days and nights over the festival, which goes for 17 days.
So 17 days, event. party.
Shut up. We're calling it like a mega Mardi Gras. So Mardi Gras will also happen at the same time, and we're working very closely with them. But, you know, look, there's over 300 events, you know, people from all over the world coming, and the gathering space is going to be an incredible opportunity for our mob to get together, you know, celebrate, but also talk about some of the issues that affect our mob, and particularly our LGBTQ+ sister, girl, and brother, boy community.
Look, it creates a space, a platform, you know, for our mob to operate in a safe space, you know, and together as such, you know, and the togetherness is fantastic and a great platform. Is this the first time kicked off?
Yes, so as I mentioned, there's never been a World Pride that's taken place in the Southern Hemisphere. So this is a world first. So we're creating history, and an event like this in terms of the gathering space has not been done on this scale before as well. So we're really encouraging all mob to participate in whatever way you can. If you can't make it to Sydney, we've got a couple of grants that are on our website that are available for mob to be able to create events in their own community. And we're also going to be streaming our human rights conference as well to people that can't be there. So, you know, we're really encouraging, as you mentioned, to gather in whatever way we can and to ensure that we can celebrate. But also, you know, come together and have those conversations and support our, you know, our brother boys and sister girls.
Excellent. And the conversations need to be had. So a beautiful platform and fantastic to hear. Can you please, Ben, enlighten us the first four shows that are on happening?
Yeah, so we've launched our first four shows that have gone on sale. So we have Club Village, which is curated by House of Kong. And for anyone that's been watching RuPaul or is a RuPaul fan, Queen Kong, who was a part of that, the second season, is curating that show. So that's going to be a big variety, deadly cabaret show happening for three nights during the gathering space. We also have a show called Miss First Nation Supreme Queen. Mm-hmm. And so some of your listeners might be familiar with the Miss First Nations pageant, which is basically a drag pageant for our mob. And that's been going for the last 5 years. And basically, the Miss First Nation Supreme Queen.
And that's very colourful, isn't it, Ben?
very colourful. So that's going to be, you know, a fierce competition. And then we have a couple of theatre shows, which is a show called Daddy by Joel Bray and Chase by Carly Shepherd. And all of those shows will be on during the six six nights of our gathering space.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing. And you have the webpage there, please. People can get tickets.
Yes, yeah, so sydneyworldpride.com. And I just want to mention as well, we also have tickets available for Mob. So we've got an initiative called Mob Kicks. So if you sign up for Mob Kicks, you're able to get heavily discounted tickets to most of our, all of our events at the Gathering Space, but then some of our major events at Sydney World Pride. So, and a lot of those tickets are like 90%, you know, discounted. So, so any mob that are interested, go to sydneyworldpride.com. Just search under the events and also Mob Kicks, and you'll be able to find all the information there.
And confirming, Mob Kicks is M-O-B-T-I-X.
Correct.
Beautiful. Yes. Lovely. Ben, thank you very much for sharing. Get ready to shake booty. And look, we'll catch up soon, my brother.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yawo.
Beautiful yarn there. Ben Goretz, our Festival Creative Director, First Nations, and talking about Sydney World Pride 2023, announces first four shows to be staged at the First Nations Gathering Space. So that's all happening, running from 23rd to the 28th of February next year. So look, go online, check out their webpage in regarding getting tickets, sydneyworldpride.com /travel /providers/, and get Google Mob Ticks, and that's T-I-X, and regarding getting tickets. But a great platform, looking after our mob there, and you can have your say, add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I'm gonna My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
I had a bad week, spent the evening pretending it wasn't that deep. You could see in my eyes that it was taking over. I guess I was just blind and caught up in the moment. You know you take all of my stress right down, help me get it off my chest and out into the ether with the rest of this mess that just keeps us depressed. We forget that we're here right now, cause we're living life at a different pace, stuck in a constant race. Keep the pressure on, you're bound to break. Something's got to change. We should just be cancelling all our plans and not give a damn if we're missing out on what the people think is right. Seeing through a picture behind a screen and forget to be. Lose the conversation for the message that you'll never read. I think maybe you and me, oh, we should head out to the place where the music plays, and then we'll go all night, just stepping with a woman I love. All my troubles standing up, and when I'm in your eyes, electrified. We'll keep turning up and go all night. We had dips and falls in our time, but we know what it feels to be low then up, alone then love. And all we need is us to go all night, night. Just stepping with a woman I love. Night, yeah. All we need is us.
We can stay up to the sunrise. Could get in the late night. Just you and me, don't have to be shy, baby. Don't be shy, baby. It's a time like this, baby. Free my mind with a kiss, I'm in bliss. Yeah, this is heaven, baby. And I don't wanna miss what we have right now. So tell me, would you stay up late night talking till we make trust? Baby, tell me, would you be the one, be my one?
We'll go all night, two-stepping with a woman I love. All my troubles turn to nothing when I'm in your eyes. Electrified, we'll keep turning up and go all night. We had dips and falls in our time, but we know what it is to be in love, alone in love. And all we need is us to go all night, night. Two-stepping with a woman I love.
Yeah, to Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns in Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Radio Service. You can give us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Here at Bumbabrip Media, BBM 98.7 FM. And across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Radio Service. You can text the brother as well, 045-714-0550. And don't forget Facebook page, well, BBM 987 FM. Sylvia. Okay, we're going to catch up with Yane. We've got Sylvia on the line. Sylvia, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm good, my sister. How are you?
Well, better now that I'm home. Unfortunately, I've been in hospital. I've had a seizure of some kind, but I didn't want you to think I'd forgotten you.
Yeah, darling, no. It's good to hear your voice. And how's John?
John, well, he was really worried when I had this. He's happier that I'm home, so.
And how are you traveling? So what? Did you have a fall? Did you? Sam, did you have a fall?
I had a fall. Apparently, I don't remember very much at all.
Oh,
no.
It's good to hear your voice, darling. But you are back at home now, yes?
I'm back at home where I belong with John. I just wanted you to know I hadn't forgotten you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I was going to badmouth you on Facebook if I didn't hear from you, sister.
Oh.
I wouldn't do that. And you're travelling good then, are you?
Oh, yes, now I am, that I'm home with my darling son.
Good.
They treated me very well.
Good.
But there's no place like home.
Exactly. Exactly. And did you happen to listen to the radio while you were up there in hospital?
Oh, yes. And then they dropped it and they broke it. But
oh,
John
yeah.
fixed it, so now I'm back on air again.
Well, that's great to see. So thank you very much for contacting me. Good to hear your voice. A big hello to John. And you take care of yourself and look after yourself, Samantha.
I certainly will. Love to you and your family.
Okay, darling. You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A beautiful yarn, Samantha from WA. Great to hear her voice. Yeah, so she was in hospital, but back at home now. Her beautiful son, who's a carer for Samantha, is looking after her, and it's they're both excited that she's home, and it's good for her to call in. So thank you very much, Samantha. Fantastic. Speaking of WA, that's where Samantha's from, very sad news, but Perth vigilante bashing murder involved a metal pole, police say. Police believe a metal pole was used in the fatal assault of a 15-year-old boy beaten in a suspected vigilante attack while walking home from school. It's understood that Cassius Turvey was walking with his friends along Lloyd Street in Middle Swan around 4:30 p.m. in October 13, when a car full of strangers pulled up alongside him and began accusing him of smashing car windows. Turvey's family believe he was wrongly targeted in a case of mistaken identity, which is so very sad. WA Police Detective Senior Sergeant Stephen Cleal alleged Jack Brearley, 21, jumped out of a black ute and ran towards the teens before bashing Turvey with the pole. The two people who we believe were subject to an assault just happened to be the two people they managed to catch up with. So there's no indication that they knew them personally or singled them out of the group, he says. The 21-year-old who has been charged with the murder has had damage caused to his car the previous day. In terms of the motivation towards the attack, that is still ongoing. Turvey was rushed to hospital, suffering a bleeding and swelling on the brain. He was released after 5 days, but 6 hours later, he had a seizure and was rushed back to hospital and placed in an induced coma. He died on Sunday, 10 days after the attack. So very, very sad that has happened, and thoughts and prayers and love going out to the family. But, of course, still all under investigation, and just need to stamp out all this yuckiness. Have your say. Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
On the street one day, I saw a policeman. He come up to me and he did say, "What are you doing, son?" I said I didn't think that I was doing any harm. Then he went and moved me on. Said I was taking arms. Have you got arms for the beggar man? Have you got arms for the beggar man? Man, yeah, beggar man, oh, the beggar man.
Yeah, Beggar Man, Uncle Archie Roach with us in spirit. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country as BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, your mob, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, Jungun and Japakai artefacts return home. James Cook University has begun a long-term project to repatriate Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture heritage materials held in the university's material culture collections. We're going to catch up a yarn with Professor Rosita Henry, a professor of anthropology at JCU, and talk about this fantastic opportunity. On the line, Professor Rosita, how are you?
Hi. Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning. Where are you based, Professor?
I'm on the Cairns campus of JCU.
Good. Just up the road. We could add a cup of coffee and add a yarn.
We could have done that.
Well, thank you for coming to the program. Look, very great, very good news. Good news regarding Jungun and Japakai artefacts return home.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
please enlighten
really
us, please, in regard to the repatriation of the artefacts.
Well, JCU, James Cook University, has a material culture collection. We've had it since, been collecting since the 1970s.
Mm.
And, you know, much of the material is not, in fact, Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander. It's from all over the world.
Okay.
But we had a small collection of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander material. And some of that was transferred to the Queensland Museum, but JCU still today has a small collection. And we decided that it was the correct thing to do, an important thing to do, to return these objects, as if we could, to the traditional owners or the source communities, as it's sometimes referred to, of these objects. And so I've been engaged with the collections manager and curator, Indigenous curator Trish Barnard, for the last couple of years, actually. You know, doing some research into the objects we hold, and identifying who the source, who the traditional owners are, or who the source communities are, the original makers.
Yes, and the artefacts returning back to Jungun and Japakai people, but of course, you've got to do your research in regard and finding if the artefacts are true and correct from the different tribal people, traditional owners, to make sure we get that right. So there's that communication, and our elders are at the table in regard to that yarn.
That's right. So we have our own, origin material, like paperwork and stuff. Where
sure.
So in some cases, we know, that particular, for example, the artworks that were returned to Jungun people, there, we had documentation of who the original artists were, their signed works, so we kind of knew. But in many cases, there, we don't know. And so it's a big task, and we have actually contacted, elders in different communities to find out, get their some feedback on, are these objects, do you recognize them, and so on. So it's a long process.
Yes.
Really identifying. We don't want to be returning material to the wrong people.
Well, exactly. Cause havoc there.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a slow process, but it's very heartwarming and rewarding, research to be involved in. And it's wonderful when we see the material returned,
Professor, do we know what the TO, traditional owners, do with artefacts then? Or do they enlighten you? Or is it entirely up to them what they do with the process?
Well, it's unconditional. So we're following protocols that the Australian Institute of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander are following, IATSIS too, where they're doing a big project at the moment, being a mediation between the big museums overseas, like the British Museum and Musée de Quai Branly in Paris and so on, and traditional owner groups, seeing whether it's possible to repatriate cultural heritage objects. And it's usually unconditional, repatriation. So we're following the same kind of protocol, so we don't expect to get source communities or we're dealing with prescribed body corporates, so the traditional native title bodies. We don't expect them to have to say that they've got a cultural keeping place and so on. I mean, we hope that there is going to be, or there are plans for, keeping these objects in a safe way, but it's not up to us to say.
Not up to you. Okay.
Yeah.
And as a professor of anthropology, Rosita, the findings are fantastic, the research are fantastic, but giving back is the right thing to do, don't you think?
It is absolutely the right thing to do. This is important part of people's identities, their heritage, important part of place, of country, things coming back to country, coming back home. So this is important work, very important,
Yeah, fantastic. Well, this is a good news story. Great to hear some good news stories. And congratulations to JCU, Cairns Campus, and the work that you guys are doing. Thank you for sharing with us, Professor Rosita. And all the best to your team there. Your family, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you. Lovely to talk to you.
You take care. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn, and that was with Professor Rosita Henry, Professor of Anthropology, JCU, and Jungan and Japakai artefacts returned home, which is so fantastic. And in regards to what the TOs do with the artefacts, well, of course, it's entirely up to them. If they want to share that information, and they can, if they don't, then they can do that too. So it is the right thing to do, returning the artefacts as such. But talking to a professor, like all anthropologists, are very excited findings, and then they do the research to find out where the so-called artefacts come from. And like I said, the right thing to do is hand them back, and it's great to see. A long process, but it happens in the end. But when we're talking about 60,000 years, well, hey, 60,000 years more, we aren't going nowhere. Have you saying Yana Strong? I had the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Oh,
Okay, Aurora, JKLMS here on your daily program, National Talk Black. I believe we have someone on the line. Good morning, someone.
Yeah, good morning, yeah, brother. Brother, I want to say a big shout out to Donnell Wallen, brother.
Yes.
From WA, brother, big shout out for you for starting a conversation, brother.
Yeah, it's so true, brother. Yep.
And I was thinking, I wonder if that little boy that died, condolences to the family, if there's backlash from her speaking out, you know, brother. I was wondering about that, brother.
Yeah, but it seems like a mistaken identity, but to take it the matters in your own hand, vigilante style, is not on anyway. Very sad.
Now, there was something said to Annie Dingo, too, and Red One's taking it somewhere, and he gave him what was it, Brock, that made vicious comments toward him. Brother, that ABC4 was last night. I'm glad Anna McGray was there, the human rights advocate, or I think she is. I was a bit. I want to say a big shout out to the police, the detective, the investigating police, that done that one on Eric Leedy from Cowan, brother, and that taxi driver that took him up to Coranda, brother. Big shout out to the William in there, brother. Yeah. But I was disappointed that Debbie Kilroy and my boy there, Teddy Bear, and I wasn't in the program about my granny, Alison Baden, my dear brother. Mm. And you know that Alison Baden played the other Alison, the real estate people. And even the sister said, Alison Baden, Clay's sister said, she can saw that the discrimination into the investigation into their sister and Alison. And there were a lot of stuff that happened initially in the inquest that didn't happen with the investigating police on that inquest. But it didn't happen, brother. So I have my disappointment. And I got a lot to say. But you know, brother, but the correlation between alcohol and violence, brother, on that report about Alice Springer, brother, I have a lot to say about that. And well, I'll just say it briefly, brother. Hate, you know, love him or hate, no, peace, and brother, you know, he shows from that AMP that the correlation between alcohol and violence. And don't have to talk to him as a black fellow or me as a black fellow. Go to the white fellows, go to the Flying Doctor, go to King Base Hospital, go to the Bulletin, go to Lotus Glen. And of course, people get older, they get grog. But, you know, it's like rifle, brother. People secret shot with rifle, but it's not as rampant as it used to be, brother. And, brother, on this other one, this is when Gordon Ramsay take over, brother.
Gordon Ramsay, go ahead.
This Roy Hill spokespeople for Gina Reinhart, they said there should be separation between racism, social justice, and sports. And that's why she's still like saying, F me dead, brother. You know, those old boxers and sports people, our people, Ellie Bennett, George Bracken, and all them old fellas. In Queensland, brother. Even though they were good sportsmen, they were all under the act. You know, where's that money? Money went to, and brother, I want to say a big shout out to brother Percy Neal over there, brother. And I don't know if he's still alive, my brother Stu Harris. But I was 17, brother. When was at Cranby College in Glebe, dear brother. And the first time I ever marched was a May Day march in Sydney, and there was a bishop, Bishop Crowther. He was the anti-apartheid campaign from South Africa, white fella. That's when all the Springbok came here, came to this country, and played. And even Peter Beattie, he was before he became, I think he was with African League late, and his wife grew up as a child of a missionary up at Pombrow, I think, and she picked up language up there while she was up there. But he went to social justice, Peter Beattie, and he was protested against the Springbok too. And anyway, it's the first time I ever marched. You know, and if there wasn't any connection between social justice and racism and in sport, you'd still be having all white fellas place from South Africa, brain, brother.
Yes.
So, and she's talking there about, there should be a cut-off point. But and brother, I'm just other thing on there. Dad Lang Hancock, brother. What is he saying about sterilizing Aboriginal women? So what does that mean? Does it mean that he can go taking advantage of all the women without having children? But he got Aboriginal children, brother. And you know, like after that Coniston massacre, when the dingo trapper when he got shot and there was a massacre, that was the license now to for the white fellas. I reckon this is my own take. When they massacred Blackfoot came with the workers mob, Walpole mob, when they massacred them, they were sending out a signal to black fellows, you muck around with our white fellows, you muck around with your young girls, this is what's going to happen to you. That was a signal that they, and you know that all that in America that are Me Too, they want to look at black fellows here, to the women here, and the, you know, and what happened to, they could take it without any girls, take Aboriginal women without any consequences after that massacre, I reckon. Mm. And what Glenn Hancock was saying, you know, like, they should sterilize them. And what that mean? In short, that means white folks can take advantage of all the women without having kids. And, you know, like, they put the emphasis on black fellas, especially male, and not looking after all the kids. And this was a... it comes, what about all the white fellas?
Yeah, exactly. You know, could be two-way street.
Yeah, not just where their kids. I mean, white women that had children out of wedlock, the single white woman... they took their kids away too. And Gareth Evans became a minister in the Labour government, I think. And he said an Australian story. He said he grew up a bastard because them white men, they didn't bloody, they didn't look after their kids, their own white kids. And we still got a mayor, they bloody cut their brain between their legs. They're still going over Asia for them, on them sexes for them little kiddies, brother. They're still doing it, brother. Mm. Brother. Thank you very much. Say again, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Too deadly. Someone having his say here on National Talk Black. He did mention the crisis, the financial crisis of Gina Reinhardt's Hancock. You know, Anthony Mundine has jumped in as well. Has called out Gina Reinhardt for failing to do one thing after her move to pull sponsorship money from Network. Australian sporting icon Anthony Mundine has weighed in on the Netball Australia sponsorship crisis. The sporting organisation has been left on the brink of financial crisis after Gina Reinhardt's Hancock Prospecting withdrew from its $15 million sponsorship deal. The response followed revelations that Diamond players had concerns about wearing a team uniform that included sponsorship branding from Hancock Prospecting. The issue came to a head when Indigenous player Danelle Wallum, who is in line to make her Diamonds debut in the up-and-coming series against England, was said to be uncomfortable wearing the uniform with the logo due to comments made by Reinhardt's father, Lang Hancock, in the 1980s. He famously suggested 1984 Indigenous Australians should be sterilised, to breed themselves out in coming years. In the face of intense pressure, Wallum decided on Friday she would wear the logo on her uniform for her international debut on Saturday. However, the deal was pulled from the table. And now Mundine has come to her defence and turned the blowtorch on the mining magnate for not distancing herself from her father's comments. So there it is, Anthony Mundine jumping into the conversation as well. Stay tuned, your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. I think we've got someone back on the line. Someone, good morning.
Yeah, brother, quick one again, brother. Actually, quick, before I chuck you out in the ring, brother, you're going to come up with some funding too, brother.
Yeah, okay, yep, yep.
Yeah. Okay, that's all, brother, yeah.
Thank you, my brother. Beautiful. Thank you. Someone there. So this is your daily program. We've got about 9 minutes left on the program. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
I'd like to thank Uncle Archie and my sisters, Titters, Dan Sultan, Kev Comedy, paving the way for me and many. The stand-up tall, young black and deadly, I'm proud and ready. I'm the black prince to many, like Michael Long kicking goals on that telly. Yup, change that day, I'll change your mind, boy. Perspective, your way of life, you may deny. I promise if we get this right, we'll be living in our day where our days are fine. But it makes me sad that we can't understand all this pain from stealing the land. And I'm a proud Aboriginal man. That's why I got that flag tattooed on my hand. Cause we're the oldest in civilization, yet we're the coldest in a hypocritical nation. So I'm waiting for the day that you're proud. All my people not mistaking us as patience on a race it and never answer minimal information.
A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. My man.
I was floating down this river and looked out the side, and I saw all this land get took. And yeah, I'm sick of all these white fellas thinking that they know better when they knew never. Yeah, and man, I stand up for what I believe. That's the answer. Question time. Freedom of speech with a plan, but that's why I stand pants down with my hands up, bruh. I get asked about 3 times a week if I'm Aboriginal, but see, don't matter what the colour of your skin, where you've been, brother. Written in my blood, black history, brother. And I can feel it, man, the energy, the synergy. You mimic me deep down, the truth is you're sick of me. Napalina, Kuparuna, Niara, I'm from a Tulumpunga, Larapuna, yeah, Luchawita. Love for Larrakia and NT, Noongars West, Curries, Murrays. All that love for all the Ghana mob in SA. They understand what I say, cause I feel like
they're taking all our family as we're walking out the door, and they're leaving all of their loving, and she's telling him to let go. You can see it in the writing as we read it on your wall. She's a devil in disguise, and I'm a pawn to a lust, pawn to a love, cause. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. My man, my man, na 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 na. Black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan. Black Swan, Black Swan.
Yeah, Black Swan, Marlon Ruler featuring BLK Empire. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Looking at the story, the headlines for the news, had one decision by Rishi Sunak kicked off months of mayhem that will end with him as PM. So it'd be the first time ever a coloured person being the Prime Minister of England. And he himself, his family is worth $1.3 billion. And that's more money than the royals, or well, King Charles anyway. So there it is. And good to have colour there. So that's all happening in the headline news there. Other headline news, grocery bill warning as Premier visits flood-hit areas of New South Wales. More homes flooded as Echugu's levee breaks. Share market investments that can survive the world's financial woes. Woman with catfished victims by posing as Lincoln Lewis gets more jail time after losing appeal. Medibank confirms distressing development as customers' private details hacked. Other news here on the news here will be Will Smith hosts epic screening of Emancipation with Rihanna, Dave Chappelle, and Tyrell Perry as guests. Fill up now, warning on 30 cents petrol surge. Fuming major problems with politician's picture. Bridget Monaghan posts about relationships ending, and Emmett Tom Brady and Giselle. Koala's miracle research, a rescue from a deserted cave, absolute fluke. They're the headlines for today on the news. And regarding National Talk Black, I close the show for today. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. Thank you very much for your company, Mob. National